Hi everyone, welcome to Final Score with The Score. This is our first post-match episode. Just a friendly place to talk Chelsea, to talk about the game, get people's views, get fans' views and have some healthy conversation. I am joined as a co-host today by my friend Chelsea Rambles. Welcome, Chelsea Rambles.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. Quite happy, obviously. Just watch the game on TV. I wasn't at the game. Yeah, good. Good to have you here. This is Ramble's first episode as co-host. He'll be here pretty regularly. Probably not every episode, but he'll be pretty regularly. So today we're going to talk about the game, pretty much. That's what we're going to talk about. Chelsea just won 4-0 against Preston North End in the FA Cup. Good second half performance. Probably should have won by more in the end. First half, we were pretty awful, but we got the job done. Scored some really good goals as well, I think, actually. I enjoyed pretty much all of the goals today. So, and of course, some debuts as well. Alfred Gilchrist made his first start for Chelsea. And we also had another debut from the bench. We had Michael Golding come off the bench, and he looked pretty good from what I could see. Big player, seems to have a lot of energy, and almost scored as well. So there's lots to talk about. I'd love to get your views on the game, what you thought of the game, who were the standout players for you, who deserves to start going forward, what you would have done differently maybe, or criticisms that you have of the first half, anything you want to say about the game, pretty much. We want to hear it, and we want to do it in a healthy, respectful way, a polite way. Everyone has different views. It's fine. We all have different perspectives. So let's just respect each other and be kind, and allow everyone to have their own views. And we'll just we'll try and get a good discussion going on the game. So, if you want to come up and speak, you need to request, and then what Rambles will kind of keep an eye on all of those, and and then we'll let people up. Just a little review of the game. Obviously, Chelsea started with a pretty strong lineup. Alfie Gilchrist made his debut at right back. Levi Colwill was captain and playing centre back. First half, we kind of passed the ball around a lot and didn't do much with it. We had a couple of chances, and then Preston North End kind of grew into the game a little bit and started to get a bit bad in the first half, and then. Second half, we were a different team, to be fair. We came out and, you know, I think once we got that first goal, Armando Broya getting his second goal of the season with a brilliant header, absolutely brilliant header, honestly. One of the best headers I've seen. And then he almost got a second one because Mudryk made that brilliant cross, which he probably should have scored. And then Thiago Silva came off the bench and scored the second goal with a great header. I've seen a photo of that header. It looks amazing. The freeze frame of that header looks amazing. Then Raheem Sterling scored an absolute gem of a free kick. Absolutely brilliant. Wonderful free kick for 3-0. And then Enzo Fernandez finished it off with a fourth, which they took about 10 minutes to figure out wasn't offside with VAR. Probably could have had a couple more towards the end as well. Madueke came on, played pretty well. David Washington came on, which was really cool to see. And then, of course, we had Michael Golding come on, and he had a little cameo, which was really good, and he almost scored. Almost scored with his second or third touch, I think, as well. He probably should have scored as well. It was overall, it ended well, and the second half was enjoyable, and we got the result. We're in the hat for the next round, which is good. No injuries as well, which is another positive. Clean sheet as well. We haven't had a clean sheet for a while. I can't remember when we last had a clean sheet, actually. But that's all. So there's lots of positives, and that's the game. That was really what happened in the game. And so we're going to talk about that, and we're going to get all your views. So please do request to come up, and we'll have you up and let you get your views. Rambles, what did you think of the game?
As I say, game of two halves. I thought the first half was very meh. Well, we weren't brilliant. But I think second half, we really stepped it up. I would have had Malo Gusto as my man of the match. I thought he was brilliant. And every game recently, he seems to be getting better and better. and Petrovic as well. I've been very impressed with Petrovic. He just got a calmness about him. I feel far more assured when he's in goal as opposed to Sanchez.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big fan of Petrovic. I think he just seems to have much more. I don't feel nervous when he's in goal. I don't know what it is. Some goalkeepers just make you feel nervous when they're in goal.
He seems to command the area very well.
Like even Sanchez to a certain extent. Last clean sheet was 16th of December. Wow, I can't. Oh, yes, it was Sheffield United was the last clean sheet. That was the last clean sheet. But we haven't had many this season, so it's good to be getting some clean sheets. Also, we haven't lost at home since October, which is really good. I think we're unbeaten in 7 games at home. And, we're getting a pretty good run together at home. It's nice to see. We've won our last, I think, if you include Newcastle, we've won our last 5 games at home. Is that right? I think Sheffield United, Newcastle, right, yeah. Palace. Oh, no, because Luton was away, wasn't it? Sorry, I forgot. But we're in good form at home, which is really important. Like, we haven't had good form at home for a long time. So we're starting to get into good form at home and getting wins at home, which is really, really important. And I agree on Gusto. I love Gusto. I think would we pay for him 20 million up front or something like that? Absolute bargain.
Yes, yeah, something similar to that.
You know, I know sporting directors get a lot of criticism, but that one they got absolutely spot on. I mean, that was, he's a very, very good player. And it's very useful to have him with Reece James' injury problems. So, we need that on the left-hand side now. We need that quality left-back to back up Chilwell or even replace him long-term. And then that will make a lot of difference, because when you have full-backs going forward, getting crosses in, it makes it so much easier to create chances, especially when you've got Enzo Fernandez threading balls through the midfield as well. You know, it makes it doubly difficult for teams to stop us creating chances. So that needs to be sorted out.
I know he didn't get on the pitch for long, but I've been really impressed with Madueke. He looks a lot more confident.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can tell Pochettino's really worked with him, and Pochettino seems more happy with him. And I think there was an off-field incident, which I think has been put to bed.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I was actually saying this on Twitter during the game. Mudrick and Madueke are different players than last season. That's partly down to Pochettino. I'm 100% sure of that. He's really good at developing players and improving young players. And, you know, and that's not just in terms of their ability, but their mentality and their work rate and everything. And you've seen the improvement in Mudrick. That cross for Broja was so good. Like, I deserved a goal. I was so gutted he didn't go.
That was a brilliant cross.
It was so good. And Madueke, yeah, he's definitely taken on board what Pochettino has been talking to him about, because his attitude is better, his work ethic is better. He looks dangerous whenever he comes on. He's willing to take on shots. I think he wants to get the player to think for themselves and just take on shots and make decisions for themselves. That's a really good way to develop young talent, is, you know, because I mean, football is so robotic nowadays. Everyone is like given exact instructions and don't learn to think for themselves. And one of the things I like about Pochettino and Carlo Ancelotti actually is they let players think for themselves. They encourage them to think for themselves, and that helps develop players. And then you can always put tactical instructions on top of that. But yeah, those two have definitely improved under Pochettino for sure.
I think we're now in a position where Pochettino is going to have a real selection headache, because obviously we've got Chilwell and Carney should be back midweek. I believe they could be in the squad. Obviously, Madueke is playing very well. Palmer's been on brilliant form. Mudrick's looking better. And you've obviously got Nkunku, Sterling. So, you know, there's going to be real competition for places going forward.
Yeah, and that's what you need. I mean, competition for places pushes everyone to a higher level, because you're trying to keep your place. And that's what every top team needs. So now you've got kind of Cole Palmer, Madueke, Mudrick, even Sterling, you know, played well today, goal and assist today. He keeps getting criticism, Raheem Sterling, but he's got 7 goals and 7 assists in 23 games this season. And that's not bad. If he plays 40 games this season, he'll be on like 12 goals and 12 assists, which for a winger is pretty good. He contributed today. He was good today, actually. yeah, the free kick he scored was just, it was magic. It reminded me of like the old free kicks we used to get from Zola. It was just like, it was just this perfect free kick. It just went straight into the net, keeper no chance. It was brilliant, you know, top class free kick. So credit to him. He's been out of the team, and that's it. And that's the whole point. He's been out of the team. He's got a chance today, and he's, you know, he's fighting for his spot. So that's, it just raises the level of everybody, everyone, if you've got multiple players in those positions. So, yeah. And it was good to see Enzo back as well. He looked a bit better today. Yeah, I mean, he looked a bit fitter. He looked a bit more like himself. Still got a way to go, I think, but he looked a bit more like himself today. I've got a comment from Louis on Sterling that today's performance covered up the cracks, which is a fair view. A lot of people have that view, and I'd love to hear from people. Oh, we've got some people requesting. This is good. We'd love to hear your views on Raheem Sterling, because he divides the fan base a lot. And, you know, I'm kind of in the middle. I rate him as a player, but I wish he was more consistent, and I wish he worked harder.
I think Sterling's divided opinion his whole kind of career, you know, for Liverpool, for Man City, yeah. For England. There's always been a divide. Is he good? Is he not good?
I've been a fan of his the whole career. I wanted him at Chelsea, but I get the frustration with him because he is a frustrating player, 100%. So I see both points of view. Right, so we've got our first speaker up, CFC Aya. Welcome. Great to have you here. Thanks for coming up, and thanks for wanting to speak. It's great to have you here. So what have you got to say on the game? Oh, he's gone. Oh well, that was short and sweet. I'm sorry about that. If you want to come back, please do request again, and we'll let you back in again. We're having a few technical problems with speakers today. We're trying to figure it out, but we'll get on with it. Raheem Sterling, he's that player that divides opinion a lot. And there's a few players. William was one of those players as well. He divided opinion. I actually liked William. I thought his work rate was excellent, and he was a good professional. But I also understood why he was frustrating for some people. Right, we've got somebody else come out. This is great, 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 great. Rambles, what are your thoughts on Raheem Sterling?
He is a frustrating player because he has moments of brilliance. Then it can be through on goal where he should score, should pass, and he manages to fluff it.
Yeah.
Yeah, come the end of the season, he'll always end up with decent numbers. So you'd expect in most seasons to get double digits for goals and assists. So he does get a fair share of numbers, but he could be that just bit more consistent.
Because
he's the kind of player, he'll score a 25-yard free kick, and then 10 minutes later, he'll have an open goal and he'll put it wide.
Exactly, yeah, I get that. Reminds me of Timo Werner a little bit. He's been in the news today, hasn't he?
He's going to Tottenham.
I've got a message from CFCI. He got chucked out for some reason, but I think this is what he's going to say. He said he really doesn't think spending 120 million on Osimhen fixes much, and can't see how you'll add to our general play and won't get much gold with our strikers. That's an interesting view. Like, yeah, I mean, I think it's clear we need a striker, right? I think that everything, pretty much every Chelsea fan that I know recognises that. The question is who we go for and when we get one. But I understand what he's saying. We'll see if we can invite him back. But I understand that point. You've got to have fullbacks to get crosses in. This is why I was tweeting on the timeline that we should sign a fullback, even on just on loan for the season. You know, with so many injuries to our fullbacks, having an extra one might be useful to have. So let's talk about that and see if we can get Aya up again. Aya, if you want to come up again, we'll try. We will definitely. I'll invite you up again. I'll invite you up again. Right. So we'll see. Trying to get him up again. In the meantime, Lewis is up here. Let's just get your views on Raheem Sterling.
All right, gents. Oh, cool.
How you doing, Louis? You okay,
mate? Blimey, I've made a mistake here. Give me 2 seconds. Can you hang on a sec? Can you hear me?
Yes,
we I can hear you.
Fantastic. Good. There we go. That's better. Yeah. Well, listen, Raheem Sterling for me, it just he's such a polarizing figure, and I understand why people are sort of looking at it going, brilliant, he's scoring the goals, that's what matters. But I just can't help but get very, very frustrated with him. There was obviously a thing going around on Twitter over the past few days, which was, let's talk about our favourite sort of wingers. Let's look at these sort of players who can, you know, maybe be the people that can cause difference. And who's your favourite type of player? And who's your least favourite type of player? Raheem Sterling fits very comfortably into that for me. I love a winger, right? But I only love a winger who seems to be able to take people on. Unfortunately, Raheem Sterling can't do that. And when he does, it's once in, I'd say, about 25. How he got man of the match today, in my opinion, was beyond me. I could not get my head around it. It made no sense to me.
Who was your man of the match?
Malo Gusto, hands down.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, same here. He was mine as well.
Yeah, he was brilliant again. He's been brilliant recently. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And we've got Brian up to speak. Welcome. Really great to have you here, and looking forward to hearing your opinion. So I'll just unmute you. I'll just unmute yourself, and then we can hear your views.
Okay. Thanks, guys, for having me. Well, I just wanted to comment on the game, and I think the first half, first of all, was, I don't know what happened. It was just neither here nor there. It was just, they were just passing the ball, pretend there was no, should I say, progression, and it was just all over the place. And Sterling, I don't know how Sterling got the man of the match, though, because for me, you were talking about, dribbling, and he does that to some extent, but the end product is my issue with him most of the times. Is decision making when he's supposed to pass, you see him, he wants to dribble or he wants to shoot. And I think that idea of him wanting to be the highest goal scorer, because he made that statement at the beginning of the season that he would want to be, or he would be the highest goal scorer by the end of the season. I think that is playing in his head in a way, because he just shoots when he shouldn't. When he's supposed to give a clear pass, he doesn't do that. So I have a problem seriously with his decision making. But outside that, I think he had a fairly good game, to be honest. And but he's definitely not the man of the match. It's Malo Gusto. Yeah, and there is the issue of pass. I don't know. I think Poch probably addressed that issue the second half, and told them to move the ball quickly, because they were very, very slow in the first half, and they allowed Person to, you know, to settle and go back to their defensive shape, which makes it even more difficult to break down. So moving the ball quickly, there's so many things.
Yeah, absolutely. Good points there. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. Again, Malaga staying man of the match. I think the pace definitely did go up second half. That's for sure. The intensity went up. In the first half, it was like watching sorry ball. You know, we were just being so slow, just passing and passing and so not really doing much with it. We had a few chances, but not like any really big chances as well. Not many. But definitely the intensity went up in the second half, that's for sure. And that's good from Pochettino to notice that as well. Good points. Thank you so much. And next up, we've got Malam. So I'm going to just add Malam as a speaker, and then we'll get your views, Malam. Anything about the game, your man of the match, you thought played well, anything about the game, we'd just love to hear it. Just connecting. So you can unmute yourself, and then we can hear from you. Uh, Just need to unmute yourself and then unmute your microphone. It's in the bottom left hand corner. So there you go. Oh no. Right, okay. Well, you just need to, yeah. All right. So while we're waiting for, oh, there you go. Mallow, are you there? Are you there? Oh no, she's gone. She's gone. Sorry. Apologies for that. But okay, well, and then what other stuff happened today? Other performances. What do people think of Alfie Gilchrist today? I thought he was brilliant. I thought he was fantastic. Played at right back, which is not even his best position. And I thought he was superb. Didn't have any problems with him all night. Great attitude. Got an applause when he came off as well. Rambles, what did you think of Alfie Gilchrist today?
I thought it was really, really good. And funny enough, I know the family quite well. I'm friends with his dad, so yeah, really pleased for him. And he had a very solid game, especially playing out of position. So yeah. something to build upon. And I think he's going to be one of those players the fans are just going to love. You know, gives 110%. You know, he's not afraid to put his head or his body on the line.
Yeah. So what's you say you know the family. What's Alfie like as a character?
I don't know Alfie too well, but I know his dad quite well. You know, they're all Chelsea fans. They've all been regulars at the Bridge over the years. So it is like a boyhood dream, you know, playing for the family club.
Yeah, you can see it whenever he gets on the pitch, really, that attitude. He wants these minutes, he wants to play, he wants to be on the pitch for Chelsea. He's just gonna fight for it every minute. He's gonna, yeah, you can see it. And I think people are comparing him with John Terry, and I think I understand why they're doing that. We don't want to put too much pressure on him now, given what John Terry did at the club. But I know what people are saying with that, because he's got the same kind of character, the same kind of personality, you know.
If I was to liken him to someone, I'd probably say he's a Conor Gallagher type personality. You know, he's just that kind of player fans are warm to, 120% no matter what.
I think they already have, honestly. I think literally that headbutt that he did in that first game when he came on, that won the fans over completely. And then that tackle at the end of the Luton game, and then he kicked the ball away, which I just loved. Like, I think he's won over a lot of fans already. And he's making his case, which is good. You know, and it's good that Pochettino gives him chances as well. I think there's three academy debuts that Poch has given this season, which is really good. Mainly in the cups, I think. But I think even in the Premier League, he's given Gilchrist and Alex Matos, who's now on loan at Huddersfield. He's given them both minutes from the bench in the Premier League, I think. So that's positive. And I'm glad about that, because it's important that these kids get opportunities and see a pathway. And there is a pathway. What I hope is that Gilchrist does well enough that we don't buy a centre-back in the summer. because he's definitely got the right mentality, and I think he's got potential, you know. And hopefully we have a good cup run in the FA Cup and he gets more games in the cup. And I'd love it if he played against Middlesbrough, to be honest, as well. But we'll see what happens with that.
But personally, I was thinking the other day, a part of me would still like to see him get a loan move, because I would like to see him get like a season of just regular football, and then we can kind of see what he's really like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think he's the kind of guy that at the end of the season, when you kind of know where you're going to finish, start him in the Premier League, and you know, give him like proper starts in the Premier League. So we've now got some comments from Pochettino on the win. So I'm going to kind of read some of those out. There's quite a few, but there's a couple of that I've got that I'll read out. He said it was a very good win. First half, he was disappointed. Started very sloppy. Told the players at halftime we needed to increase the energy and match that of Preston. And the second half was completely different. We dominated, created chances, and deserved victory. We showed a lack of desire in the first half, and we were taking too much about the energy. We were talking too much about their energy. So pretty much spot on with those comments to me. He was quite pleased with Broyer as well. He said he thinks that the goal will be great for his confidence, and that he can be positive and change his body language. I think when he performs well and finds the net, he will improve. That's very positive. Some good comments from Pochettino there. Any thoughts on those comments, Rambles?
Yeah, I think he had a much better second half, Brozier, and I think people forget that he's been out for so long. Now it's always going to take him a while to kind of get up to speed, and hopefully that goal can kind of kick on his confidence, and he should start against Middlesbrough. Then obviously there's Fulham at the weekend, so he could get three or four starts in a row, and if he can get a couple of goals, that could really help him push on.
Absolutely, absolutely agree. Yeah, I've always liked Bro, yeah, and I'm starting to lose faith a bit, and I like him because he's got a good attitude and he works really hard and he wants to succeed and he wants to make it at Chelsea. So this month is his opportunity because, you know, Jackson's away and it doesn't look like we're going to be getting a striker in, certainly not any time in the next couple of weeks anyway. So it's his opportunity, you know, to prove himself. And I hope that he does. I hope this goal gives him confidence to go on and perform really well. Got some stats from Alfie Gilchrist's game. Just been shown to me. 100% tackles won, 100% dribbles completed, 94% pass accuracy, 79 touches, 62 of 66 passes completed, 2 out of 3 long balls completed, 2 out of 2 ground duels won, and 2 clearances in 60 minutes. That is pretty impressive for a debut. And yes, it's against Preston, but I thought he was brilliant anyway. And he's been brilliant in the Premier League when he's come on.
And it was an out position debut as well.
Yeah, he was playing right back. You know, I mean, people forget he's a centre back. That's his actual position. Yeah, absolutely. And it's good. I'm really pleased that they're getting opportunities because it's Pochettino. We all knew this about Pochettino when we appointed him, that he likes to, you know, give opportunities to young players. And he's doing it, you know. And the people that have come in, you know, Matos and Gilchrist today and have done really well. You know, they've all shown little bits, and Michael Golding as well. They've all shown little bits of talent. You know, they've all been up for those opportunities. It's really good to see.
One thing I do always find with cup games against lower positions are always quite difficult, because I think in the eyes of a lot of fans, if you don't win 3 or 4-0, you've had a bad afternoon. You know, and if you only won 1-0, it's poor. You've only scored one goal against a Championship team.
Yeah.
So you can never kind of, it's never pleasing some people, regardless of the score.
I was frustrated at half time. I really was. I was worried, like, what's going to be this? What's this show going to be like? Like, if we don't win this, or if it's a draw, or we only win 1-0, you know, we're going to have, like, Poch out and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, we won 4-0. So hopefully that's kept that quiet for a while.
I mean, Aston Villa played a very strong side against Middlesbrough and just managed to get over the line 1-0. So lower opposition teams are never always as easy as they appear they might be on paper.
Yeah. I always say they've got nothing to lose, right? They've got nothing to lose. They don't even expect to win, right? So that doesn't really matter what happens. So they can just give everything. And of course, because it's on TV and it's against a big team, they're going to be up for it. They're going to be extra motivated, you know, and they'll probably play above themselves. But the problem that Preston had is that they could only do that for one half. In the second half, they definitely tired a bit, because I think they'd given so much in the first half that, you know, you could see them physically kind of a bit out of it in the last 20 minutes for sure. And we took advantage of that, absolutely. You know, we could have won 5 or 6 in the end. But the scoreline doesn't reflect how Preston played, honestly. That they were really good in the first half, and they gave it a go. You know, they didn't just sit back and let us walk all over them. So fair play to them and to their fans. Their fans are pretty loud as well, from what I heard. Although I heard there was some abusive chanting, which is not good. We don't want to see that in football. But generally, you know, it's just good to. I've been to a lot of FA Cup third round games against lower league opposition, so they're always good fun. So we've got some more stats coming in. Enzo Fernandez today, 104 touches, 80% pass accuracy, 69 of 86 passes completed, 7 out of 12 long balls completed, 5 out of 5 ground duels won, 3 key passes, 2 out of 2 tackles won, 2 aerial duels won, and 1 goal. The thing about Enzo Fernandez for me is that, like, his standards are so high that if he has an average game for him is a really good game for somebody else. And today he had probably what just an above average game for him, but probably a really good game for somebody else. And it was wonderful. It was great to see him a bit more like himself. He was playing deeper as well today, which always helps him. He's much better when he plays deeper. So what did you think of Enzo Fernandez today?
I thought he actually played very well, and you can see he's still kind of working his way back to full fitness because he's obviously had the issue, and I think he was suffering for a few weeks before he was actually out.
Yeah, I think he had that hernia injury, didn't he? And I think that bad run of form he had, I think he was carrying something for sure because he didn't look himself. And he's had a busy 18 months as well. He basically didn't stop last season. He had the World Cup and he got to the final. Then he had a big move to Chelsea and was playing every week for Chelsea, every game. And I think he's just had a baby as well. So it's been a bit of a stressful time for him. But he's a top-class player, Enzo Fernandez. He really is. Can't believe some of the takes that I'm seeing on him recently. It's just unbelievable.
I do think he's paying the price for the hefty price tag. I do think a lot of people saying, he's not worth this much money. He should be doing more for this much money. But every player, no matter how much you pay for them, they need time to settle in. And he's come into a team which has been struggling, which doesn't make the transition easy.
Absolutely, I agree. I'm a huge fan of Enzo Fernandez. When we see the best of Enzo Fernandez, it'll be really good to see. So just working his way back, not too difficult a game, which probably helped. He could just ease his way back in. And now, hopefully he's ready for Tuesday. We've got a big game on Tuesday as well. So, which brings me to another signing, another stat, Cole Palmer. He's now scored or assisted 6 goals in his last 5 games for Chelsea in all competitions. Cole Palmer. I mean, he's my favourite signing of the summer. Like, he's been absolutely superb for Chelsea. It's basically, right now, it's between him and Conor Gallagher for player of the year, I think. Honestly, but he's one of our best signings that we've ever made, I think. Honestly, he's such a good player. Contributes every game. What do you make of what's your views on Cole Palmer?
I think he's been absolutely brilliant. I was a big fan before we signed him. He scored that brilliant goal. I think it was the Super Cup final, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Or was it the Charity Shield? Actually, I think he may have scored in both.
Yes, I think he did. Yes, he got. He definitely scored in the Super Cup because I saw him. I saw that goal and I thought it was brilliant.
He was coming from a good environment, obviously being trained by Pep. He's trained every day with world-class players. So I was always confident he was going to be a good signing.
Yeah, you can see it as well. You can see the pedigree in his game. Just the patience he has, the time he has, that he's thinking about what he's doing, that he's not rushing. You can see that Pep's been coaching him, absolutely, 100%. And he's a top player.
As you say, if it was player of the season now, it would be between him and Gallagher. But I've got a sneaky suspicion that by the end of the season, Gusto could be in the conversation as well.
Yeah, I think you might be right with that one, because he's been good. I think the last 2 or 3 games in a row now, he's been pretty good. So that's a good call. Actually, a good shout. I absolutely believe that. Yeah, Gusto will be in that conversation.
We could be in a good position where Reece James might struggle to get back in the team when he's back to full fitness.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, we know Reece James is world class. The advantage of Reece James is, I think, Reece James can play. I think Reece James can pretty much play any outfield position, and he'd be world class at it, pretty much. I remember JD Morris talking about Reece James before he made his debut for Chelsea, saying that basically he wouldn't have any problem playing him anywhere, and he knows he said I could play him up front and I know he'd do a job, because he's such a good footballer. And I mean, I'd love to see him playing in the midfield, actually. I think he was player of the year for Wigan when he played in midfield. And
I think they
voted him his best, Wigan's best ever player based on one season. It was pretty incredible. And he captained them in the last game as well. And he was like 19. He's definitely got the passing range to play that role and the physicality to do it in the Premier League. and it wouldn't take as much out of him in terms of, you know, making lots of runs and, you know, risking injuries and stuff. So I definitely think there's a, that that could be a role for him later on in his career. And he can play right centre back as well. You know, I think he's I mean, you find a place for him when he's fit, because he's when he's fit and in form, he's world class. You know, I mean, he's just world class. But I know what you, I know what you're saying about Gusto, because he's quality, you know, and there's no doubt about that. Yeah, an absolute bargain. You've got to give our scouts credit for that one, because it's a really good signing. Right, so who else can we talk about today? Who was good today?
Disasi quietly had a solid game.
Who? Sorry?
Disasi quietly had a solid game.
Yeah, I'm one of his biggest defenders, and I get frustrated that people don't see it. You know, and I keep putting graphs out with all the data showing that he's actually not that bad. But yeah, you're right. I think he was pretty solid today. He reminds me of Rudiger under Lampard, actually. Like, because Rudiger got tons of stick under Lampard. And then Tuchel came in and suddenly he was like this world-class player. And I think, yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know what, that's a reflection on Poch. But yeah. But I'm a fan of Disasi, actually. And he's experienced. He's got leadership qualities. What do you think of him?
I think he's been really good ever since he came. You know, he hasn't done too much wrong. Now, I think people say, oh, he's not world class. He's not this. He's not that. I think he was brought in, let's be honest, is probably a squad player because of the injuries to Chalabar and Fofana. And I think he'll be a very good squad player. He'll play a lot of games. He can play right back as well.
That's right. I mean, when Wesley Fofana's fit, I think people forget this. Wesley Fofana is a world-class centre-back. Like, some of our best defensive displays last year were when he was fit and in the team. I want to see Fofana and Levi Colwill playing centre-back partnership together, because I think they would be brilliant. And that's actually another good point we can talk about. Levi Colwill played left centre-back today until Thiago Silva came on. And I thought he was pretty solid. I thought he was in control. His passing was excellent. He made this really good forward run, drove the ball forward a bit and created a chance out of it, I think. He's not a left back. I mean, we know he's not a left back. He's such a good player at centre back. And I think this is why we need Chilwell back as soon as possible, because then we can start playing at left centre back where he should be playing for me. He looked pretty useful today. What do you think of Levi Colwill at centre back?
I thought he was very good today, and he's another one I think is coming for a lot of unfair criticism.
Yeah,
and I don't think people realise, you know, again, like Disasi, like Gusto, he's had to play a lot of the season at a position because we just don't have fullback options, and it was always going to be a big jump from obviously going from Brighton obviously to Chelsea, because you know there's a lot more pressure on you, there's a lot more expectation, and you know you're playing for your boyhood club, so there's always going to be pressure. Add to that he's played the majority of the season at left back, which adds more pressure, and you know he's learning a new role. I think all in all he's had a really solid season, and he's only going to get better as well.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. I mean, I think he's one of the best young centre-backs in Europe of his age. He's got such a high potential. I mean, Manchester City wanted him in the summer. Liverpool wanted him in the summer. You know, there's a reason. there's a reason when City and Liverpool want you, you know you've got a good player. So I'm glad he's on a long contract and he's not going anywhere. Also, really great to see him captain the team today. This is the game you give him the captaincy, because it's not a difficult game. He shouldn't have got the captaincy against Man United. But today was the perfect game to do that. And I'm glad he did. And he showed some leadership qualities, I think, at the back, just calming things down, organising things, you know, keeping the ball, you know, not he didn't get flustered once. Positionally, he was really good. He made some good tackles. I thought he was really good. And it was kind of a shame that he ended up moving to left-back again. But yeah, it was good to see him at centre-back, and hopefully we can see more of that. Also, I just want to say to everyone, sorry we can't get people up today. We're having a few technical problems. Normally, we want to have as many people up as possible and get all your views, because that's kind of why I want to do this show. But today we're having a few technical problems, so we're trying to work on that for next time. So we're just talking about the game. I'm trying to go through the team. Like, how do people think Caicedo played today? I'm interested to see, because he's another one that seems to get a lot of criticism. I'm a big fan of his, and I don't think he's been that bad. What do you think, Rambles?
Again, I don't think he's been that bad, but I think he's a player who's going to get extra scrutiny because of the price tag. Oh, you know, he paid 100 plus million for him. He should be doing this week in, week out. Whereas, again, I think he, as I said about other players, he's moving to a team who aren't playing particularly well. We're having troubles ourselves. I don't think he's... The midfield definitely hasn't been settled.
Yeah, I think he came in without a pre-season as well. He had 2 weeks without a pre-season trying to get his move. And then he had to come straight into our team, and it's a big move, lots of pressure, big club. You know, so I think it's taken a while for him to adapt, but I still think he's a top player.
And I think I read somewhere, Poch made a comment that I think he came back from one international duty with a bit of a bad knee.
Yes, that's right.
I think he's been nursing a few injuries.
Yeah, you're right. It looks like we managed to get a speaker up. So I would say keep trying to come up, keep requesting, and because some of them are getting through. So definitely keep trying. And we've got Daniel Charles up to speak, which is brilliant. I love Daniel. If you're not a follower of Dan's work, it's brilliant. Son of Chelsea, does lots of great videos. He's a brilliant writer as well. There's lots of great Chelsea content. So I'm interested to hear your views.
He's always good content.
Absolutely spot on. Yeah, give him a follow. So, Daniel, what are your views on the game?
Can everyone hear me okay? Am I coming through okay?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much for those kind words. I feel like I'm only going to be a disappointment now. The first half was rubbish. I was quite concerned by the lethargic nature of it, but then really clicked into gear in the second half. I think it was very important that Breuer scored tonight. I thought this was a massive opportunity for him, and he's taken it. Sterling doing his regular frustrating thing, but then having a moment of quality that adds to his growing goal list this season. So, there's that. Thiago scoring and Enzo getting a goal as well. So, I mean, in the end, it felt like a very classic FA Cup third round game against the Championship side, and then the game sort of turned out the way I think a lot of us predicted it to. And then as the game was going on, and I'm seeing like we've won six of our last nine games, I mean, when you look at it like that, even though the performances maybe haven't been as good in some of those wins as performances we had earlier in the season when we wasn't winning, I mean, there is some momentum there, and that's not just off beating Preston, which I expect us to do. It's hopefully something that can mean that Chelsea can have a much, much better 2024.
Absolutely. Yeah, good point. It's a good way to kick off the year with a 4-0 win, I think. Thanks, Daniel. Really appreciate your comments. Very on the money as ever. Really appreciate that. We're going to keep you in, Daniel, because we might want to get your views on some other things later on.
No worries.
I think we've got somebody else requesting, so we'll let them in, but stay up here, then we'll get your views on some other things when they come up, definitely. So he stopped requesting. All right, that's fine. Keep requesting, people. But so Daniel, who was your man of the match today, Daniel?
I think it got didn't it get given to Sterling in the end?
I
would actually give it to Malo Gusto, which is probably not one that everyone will give it to. But, you know, his brilliant ball creates the first goal. I think Malo is turning out to be a very good signing for Chelsea. In some ways, quietly good. And I just like he looks like a very assured player in a team that at times doesn't have that in every player. And I think that he's a very rugged player. He looks like he's able to fulfill different requirements depending on the game. And really the first goal wins the game effectively, because Preston have been quite horrendous. I think they've lost like four of their last five games. It was quite evident, literally. I mean, psychologically, they were clinging on maybe for a replay or maybe for something on the break or a set piece. The moment that first goal goes in, it effectively kills the game. And it just took that moment of quality to maybe also wake Chelsea up a bit. And I think that came from Gusto, right? Not on his favoured side. And, you know, it reminds me a little bit of a younger Aspilicueta. I know that's probably high praise and pressure for Gusto, but I just think he's been a very competent player. And I stressed this all the way through the summer, that competency is something that Chelsea needed to achieve this season. And they've tried not to at times this season, but I think the signing of Gusto is one that I think we should praise. And I'd like to think the ownership can try and sign more players like Gusto, because I think he's a credit that maturity and experience doesn't always mean signing a 29-year-old. He looks like a player who but he's had a lot of experience already and at a good level. And I think the adaptation from French football to the Premier League seems to be a lot smoother than other leagues. So I know Sterling's free kick was wonderful. But I just, maybe just for me watching the game, I was quite impressed with, I was just looking at Gusto and thinking, yeah, I really like what you're doing. Sure, it's championship opposition, but that ball in was brilliant, right? I think if Reece James is playing that ball, we're all going, wow, what a cross, right? And, 100%. You know, that's...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, your view is quite popular here. We've all given Gusto man of the match as well, so... that's pretty much a unanimous opinion on this so far. So it's not that unpopular an opinion, and you're right about that cross. It was unbelievable. Very, very good signing, Malo Gusto. By the way, even if we can't get you up here, please feel free to leave questions in the comments. Just reply with your question. We'll have a look at them, and then we'll try and answer them so that we can get your views, even if we can't get you up here. So just going to take a look at those now, actually, and see what we've got down there. Okay, there's nothing new at the moment. Please do leave your views there and leave your comments and questions in the replies, because we want to hear your views. That's what this show is about. We want to get the views as many people as possible. So we've talked about one of our most recent signings. Somebody came off the bench today who's absolute world class. And scored almost immediately he came on. Thiago Silva, evergreen. You wouldn't think he's 39 years old. You just wouldn't. I wouldn't say it's been like his absolute best season, but you know, he's had a lot of good games, and his experience has been really, really important. Basically it's his experience that won us the game against Luton. I understand why Potts brought him on today, because I think he was wanting to make sure that we didn't concede anything sloppy, and that we held out, you know, after the Luton game where we kind of almost given it away. And it paid off. We got a goal straight away. So, and we all love Thiago Silva, of course. So, thoughts on Thiago Silva, Grambles?
I mean, I'm running out of things to say about Thiago Silva. He never seems to age. He's incredible for someone who's 39 years old. And how he can play week in, week out.
I know, it's amazing. He must work so hard to keep himself fit, you know. I'm only 8 years older than him, and like, I know it gets harder as you get older to keep yourself fit. So he must do a lot of work to keep himself
fit. I mean, like, if you look at some of the Premier League's best centre-backs, I mean, like John Terry, Rio Ferdinand, Nemanja Vidic, they weren't playing at this high level of that age.
Nope, they weren't. I think Ferdinand had retired, and he was playing it for QPR at 35.
He did, yeah. He had a lot of back issues towards the end of his career.
Yeah. Yeah, and Thiago Silva never gets injured either, which is just mad when you think about it. You know, the number of injuries we have at our club, he manages to stay fit. And of course, he's a great guy to have around for people like Levi Colwell, and Alfie Gilchrist, you know, and the other young centre backs we have, because he's been a world class centre back for a long time, and he's a leader, so they can all learn from him.
And he's just like the model professional. He does everything he should do to kind of maintain his body, you know, look after himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Daniel, what are your feelings on Thiago Silva this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not been his best. And I think there have been times where I think that he has been at fault for things, where I would have liked to have seen a better level of performance from him. But then trying to think what game it was. I think it was after, there was a game recently where he didn't start. And I think it may have been Everton away. And then we brought him back the next week. And it's, there is a clear understanding that this season is, I mean, almost certainly going to, I know he's defied logic for his Chelsea career, but he, I suspect this is going to be his last time. And I think it's about that transition period, right, of trying to make sure that Chelsea defence is in a good position when he does move on, probably in the summer. Yeah, I mean, it's today is exactly what you want from Silva, right? He comes on, he's assured, he scores an important goal. The game is pretty much sealed up. You know, you like to think that because he didn't play a lot tonight, he'll be fresh to play in midweek as well. So when he gives, I think some of the criticism of Silva has been a little bit overboard and quite personal at times, which I've just found a bit weird, given that, you know, he has been such a wonderful player for us, one of our best signings, undeniably, in terms of value since we brought him in 2020. So, 100%. Yeah, I would like, even if this season doesn't end, you know, amazingly well, I'd like to think he's going to get a really fond farewell at Stamford Bridge, because I think he absolutely deserves it.
100%. Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty critical of Thiago Silva this year, but basically because he's not, I don't think he's having his best season, but at the same time, we all know he's a legend of the game. He's one of the best centre-backs ever to play the game. He's a leader and he's a great pro. He's been a great player for Chelsea. You know, won the Champions League, obviously, and the World Club Cup and the Super Cup. Could still win the League Cup this season, hopefully. So that'd be a great way for him to finish, wouldn't it? To win a trophy in his last season at Chelsea. That'd be nice. And you're right, he definitely deserves a big send-off in the last home game this season. I think that would be really great, and I think he'll get one, certainly from the fans. I think the fans love him. He has a really good bond with the fans. You can see every time he scores a goal, you can see him go to the fans, and after the game as well, like, there's a real bond between him and the fans. And you know, hopefully he can stay involved in the club with some capacity when he retires. That would be really great. I know his kids are, one of his sons is a player at the club, I think. Iago Silva, that's his name. And because he went to see him in the stands after the Luton game, didn't he? Which was amazing. His whole family have kind of become Chelsea, which is pretty awesome. Absolute legend of the game, 100%. And a Chelsea hero. Wow. So we've gone through a lot of players today. I think it was just an overall, like Daniel said, second half was much better. In the first half, we got the job done, and then we move on. But Daniel said, I was really pleased to see Breyer score. That's good for his confidence because we need him the next month. And I'm sure we'll have another space about transfers in the next few weeks. The last one went well, so we'll get on to transfers at another point. But yeah, really good. Really grateful for everyone who's come today. Sorry if you couldn't get through. We've been trying to get people through. We've had a bit of technical problems, but everyone who's managed to get up, we really appreciate it. Anyone who left comments, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much. We really value your support. It's really, really important to us. Thanks, Daniel, for coming up and sharing your views with us. We always appreciate your views. You're always welcome.
No worries. Thank you for inviting me.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You're always welcome on this show. Rambles as well. First time co-hosting with me. You did a great job.
Many more to come. Good speaking to Dan and Louis. Great Chelsea content, guys.
Likewise, mate. All the best.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Yeah. So Chelsea 4, Preston North End 0. That was today's score. Chelsea are into the next round of the Cup. Good second half performance. This has been a really good show again. We're nearly done now. So thanks everyone for contributing. Thanks everyone for being part of it. We really appreciate it. Thank you all. It means a lot. And make sure you give everyone a follow as well. Rambles, myself, Daniel. And also, yeah, there's the voice note review as well. We've got a voice note review coming later, so make sure you keep an eye out for that. That's really important. We've got a keep an eye on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. There's loads of great content there. And there's comments from Poch in the review as well, in that voice note review. So yeah, keep your eyes out for that one. And follow the Echo, follow all of us. Just, you have to request for me because I'm private, but I will let you in if you request. So let's all follow each other and build community. We're all Chelsea fans. We all love the club. We all want the club to win. We should be back on Tuesday after the Middlesbrough FA Cup League Cup semi-final first leg. That's away, I think, as well. So after full time, we'll probably be back again with another episode. And hopefully this time we can get you to come and leave your comments and contribute to the conversation. Sorry that you haven't been able to if you wanted to. We really want to hear your views. So, yeah. This is the first episode of many, so I look forward to seeing you all next time, and up the Chelsea.